Hello and welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast.
Welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast with your host, Amrit Sander. I hope you're enjoying the heat out there. For those of you who aren't in the UK, we are going through a huge heat wave this week with predicted temperatures expected to peak record highs on Monday and Tuesday, up to 40 degrees. So I hope everybody out there stays safe, stays well, hydrates, drinks plenty of water, and just stays out of the sun. It looks like it's going to be a scorcher. So in amongst all of this, I just want to talk to you today about personal accountability for employee engagement. Now, often I will go into organizations, they will ask me to come in and look at their data. And upon analyzing their data, there will be a number of things that are fairly obvious that if they did, it would improve people's experiences and therefore the knock-on effect on engagement. And when I share this with them, there's often this sort of paralysis of, yeah, we get that, but what else can we do? And it's the same, sometimes I see the same thing when in leadership development programs. So you can provide people with the skills and knowledge and get them to practice and rehearse in the session. But at some point, that has to translate to behaviors. Otherwise, it's just stuff that we know. It's like losing weight. Many of us, if not all of us, know we either should lose weight and how to lose weight. We just don't do it. Some of us, you know we should be exercising 4 or 5 times a week. Many of us may not do it. So at some point, where do we draw the line of personal accountability to do some of this stuff? This is all sparked from a conversation I had with somebody last week. So we're in the middle of running a 9-month development program with some senior leaders of an organization. And one of the delegates had a chat with me. It was a catch-up session. And I said, how's it going? And he said, it's just mind-blowing. The stuff you're teaching, the stuff we're doing is just amazing. I said, well, do tell, you know, because there's always the cynical side of me, which is, does it just feel good? You know, is it time away from work makes you just forget that you've got all this responsibility of work on you? And so it feels nice to come out and then you go back to the work and nothing changes. I said, what have you done? What have you changed? And he said, it all started from actually, it was his deputy who came on the program, who came back and said, this is amazing stuff. We need to change it. We need to change the way we do things. We need to apply what we're doing from the program to this stuff. And he himself was quite cynical because he hadn't been on the program. He'd missed that session. And but he went along with his deputy and said, okay, let's do this. And it was a simple thing of you know, we talk about sometimes food, mood, behavior in one of the leadership sessions, which is, you know, we can't be at our best if we're not fueled properly. And he said it was a simple thing, but we decided to lay on breakfast for our team. He said the work we do requires using equipment, machinery. And in the 6 months we've been doing this, we've had far fewer injuries as a result of laying on breakfast for people than had we not. It's a simple thing because I've just been, my mind has been blown about how simple some of this stuff was that we just applied. And he then went on to tell me from every single module, the things he's done to change the way he leads and manages a team, both him and his deputy. And it nearly brought tears to my eyes because everything we talk about works. It's just whether we are willing to apply it. And then often people then will then criticize, you know, all leadership programs that don't work. It's courses, resources, you know, it's got to be emotional, all this stuff. I've been in plenty of things that are emotional, that were relevant, that were practical, critical. I was shown how to do it, but just never got around to it. And it was, if you take strip everything back, it wasn't that I never got around to it. It was, I just didn't think that was a priority. So knowing all of this stuff, having the skills and the knowledge isn't of value. The behaviors will only ever change if I believe that's relevant and I need to do it right now. It's a bit like Eisenhower's matrix, you know, urgent and important. If I think it's important, I will take care of it. I remember going out from my pharmacy days when I was a regional director within pharmacy. My job, I was described as a minister without a portfolio. And my job was to convince the operators of the need to focus on pharmacy. And so I would have to go in and I would so many times come across arguments to say, Amrit, look, I hear what you're saying. It's all great. But unless it's important to my manager, it's not important to me. So yes, it might all work, but until my manager thinks it's important, I won't draw my attention to that. So a lot of the time it's, where do we draw our attention? You know, when do we think this is important, and then take time out for personal accountability? Now, if you take everything back to employee engagement, I've often talked about employer engagement. At what point does the employer hold themselves to account for the environment they're creating for employees? You know, that we talk about employee engagement surveys. The survey scorecard should be a scorecard that the employer holds itself to account with, to say, here's what we've done to create either disengaged or engaged employees across the organization. And what are we now going to do as a result? But what about employee engagement in terms of employees' responsibilities? We can't just turn up at work every day waiting for the employer to make life good. Now, you might be thinking, and this happens many times, life is good until the employer gets involved. Until the employer starts to tinker or meddle in things, life is good. But I've often spoken about Russell's model on work-related well-being, but I use it for engagement. And that strategic clarity and a pleasant environment created by everybody living and breathing the values is ultimately what I think we're trying to create that will drive dedication. It will drive commitment. So if you're sat in a role where you're thinking, I haven't got a clue what the strategy is, and I haven't got a clue what we're trying to do, I think it's incumbent upon every single employee to go out there and find out. How can we drive engagement? How can we become highly active at work in terms of our energy, our focus, if we don't know what the strategy is? Now, it could be that it's just out there and no one's ever explained it to us. I'm relying on a manager who isn't very good at their job, or I'm relying on a manager who's not very good at translating the strategy. Well, how can I find it out for myself so I can then help my teams? And in terms of creating a pleasant environment, you know, we're often subjected to poor behaviors at work. But at what point do I hold somebody to account for the values? You might be thinking, Amrit, I can't do that. I'll lose my job. But this is what the organization has said is important to us. So, you know, what point do we just talk about values, you know, every year at a conference? Or do we, every single one of us, have the responsibility to bring them to life? To say, I'm really sorry, but your behaviors you're demonstrating are in no way aligned to the values of the organization. And I don't care if you're the CEO. I share a story with, and forgive me, for many of you will know this, but I share a story of once I was in a boardroom where a CEO was berating, he was ripping apart a board member whilst I was sat there. And I was shocked by the behaviors that I was seeing in this boardroom. And ironically, the organizational behaviors were just behind the CEO. They were on a big glossy poster explaining, here are our values and here are the behaviors that demonstrate those values. And I had to call it out and said, I'm really sorry, but which of those are you demonstrating right now? Embarrassed, angry, you know, he didn't like it. But, you know, unless we hold each other to account, there's no point. These are just words. So how can you improve your experience at work? Taking personal accountability, you know, whether it's your own well-being, whether it's your own clarity, whether it's making sure the environment you're creating around you is absolutely living and breathing the values, or it's about holding others to account to say, look, I'm really sorry, but that is not who we are and that is not what we're about. What can you do? And there's various facets to this. You know, I want to share a very brief story with you now. My son managed to dislocate his shoulder last week. And Wednesday early morning, we dashed over to A&E after ringing 111. Fortunately, it popped back in when we were in the car park and he ended up in minor injuries. Now, lo and behold, he hadn't had a dislocated shoulder before, but he had some other issue with his shoulder that he'd been given instructions on physiotherapy about how he needs to improve the muscles around his shoulder. Had he done anything? No. Did he know how to? Yes, they'd shown him. They'd gone through it with him and they said, you show us now what you meant to do. Explain back to us what you meant to do. I was sat there watching it. It couldn't have been any clearer. He just didn't do it. So I want us to all take a step back to say, employer engagement, yes, but what about my engagement? How do I improve the world of work for me? Because life's too short. I want to come to work loving what I do, embracing everything, immersing myself in great work, purpose-driven, and what can I do to improve my experience at work rather than relying solely on an employer who, you know, I guess is supported by managers who may or may not be as competent, who may or may not be as good at translating the strategy. What can I do to improve engagement for me? So I've got to have some personal responsibility to say, I want to enjoy work. How do I go about making that happen? Rather than passively being a spectator to watching people do to me. Now, I hope this isn't controversial. I think, you know, we need to create the environment. Absolutely, employers need to create the environment. We need to make sure our leaders and managers are focused on employee engagement. What can we do? Because disengagement is what we do to people. Engagement is how we're engaged, is the state at which people join our organizations. So how can we make sure we create great environments? That's all from me today. Join me again next week for more thoughts, views on employee engagement, leadership development, culture development, and everything else in between. Amrit Sunder from The Engagement Coach. I shall see you soon. Take care.
The Engagement Coach Podcast.